B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
All right, 5 o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show. Sal Pal rejoining the show. 5:15 today, Tuesdays with Sal. 5 o'clock hour is brought to us by Guided Door and Window. You can take advantage of Guided Door and Window's big summer sales event where you're going to get 40% off all windows and doors. So just call Guided Door and Window today. Number's 1-877-GO-GUIDA or check them out online at goguida.com. 610-632-0975 is how you get in. We'll start it off with Q in Center City. What's up, Q?
How you doing, Mike?
How you doing, Q?
I'm okay. I want to talk about the Carson Wentz thing, but I've been wanting to get through to you and talk to you about something that you talked about a few weeks ago. Something you talked about a few weeks ago. I work with a partner, a white female, and you talked about coming to work and the light was messed up and Tyrone was behind. And you passed the light with no thought in mind, you know.
I waited several minutes before I did it, but yeah, I did it, and then I thought about it because I saw Tyrone in my rear view.
Right, your mindset was like, "Dad, my boy in the back, I hope he is," like, because you know that he ain't going to do the same thing you did because he don't know how the reaction might be.
Exactly. That's exactly the point I was trying to make.
It sparked a really, really good conversation between me and her because I've been doing the job I do for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been doing it for about a year. And we've been having some rough interactions. And I suggested to my supervisor that she might need some cultural competency classes. And my supervisor asked me why, and I gave the reasons why. But your conversation that day, because what I do is I make sure, you know, the driver controls the radio. So when I drive, I make sure I drive all the time so I can make sure I listen to you guys. And it sparked a very, very good dialogue that extends to this day. And it's funny how it happened because everything else happened right after that. So I thank you for that.
So you were in the car listening to that and having a discussion along with your lady? Or this is a coworker?
No, my coworker.
Your coworker. Okay.
We were in the car.
Okay. And your coworker didn't understand that point?
No, she understood it, but when you broke it down, she understood it a little better.
Okay.
And we were able to go into other avenues of.
Yeah. And that's awesome. I'm so glad to hear that because that's what sometimes my goal is to get people to talk like and think along those lines. So I'm glad that actually was a productive conversation.
Yes, it was. And this is the thing with Carson. Let me tell you, I truly believe that I think Dougie might think this kid is hard-headed. It's something between them. The way that Tyrone felt about Drew Brees before Drew Brees revealed himself, that's how I feel about Carson. That's exactly how I feel about Carson. It's something about this kid. Everything that we see ain't what it is. And I think with Dougie, I think he's hard.
I think he sees the same thing.
Yes, I think.
Well, all right. Then quickly, I gotta let you go, Cupid. What don't you see in him? Like, what is it that backs you off with Carson Wentz?
Well, this will back me off. The goofy suits a little bit. He's trying to he's trying to be cool, but he's not a cool dude. But he's trying to like the goofy suits and the bromance with Zach Ertz.
You're talking about the stuff he wears at the pressers.
Yes,
I made fun of that. Is that an indication? What is that an indication of? I don't know. I don't know what it is. I try not to like say it's an indication of a guy who can't play quarterback. Maybe my comments have led people to believe that. I just think it's not self-aware. And maybe if you're not self-aware, how's it projected as a quarterback? I didn't mean it as to take away from his abilities as a quarterback.
Right.
When I talked about his dress where he just doesn't have a clue.
Right. And he said bromance with Ertz. What's funny is, I know they're friends.
Yeah.
But they're not together that much.
No, they're like, they don't like pals around. Like they're like friends. Like
you can be friends with coworkers and that like they're co-work, like it's a job. You're going to like some guys and then in the Alshon place, you're not going to like some people like any other workplace. I find that odd that bothers some people.
Well,
why wouldn't you like Ertz?
Yeah,
like what's wrong with Ertz? Like if you like, why couldn't you like him?
He's got me thinking now because I did say like if because that like if you don't have a feel for cool, could you be a great quarterback?
Drew Brees is not cool.
No, he's not cool.
Great quarterback.
And he's a great
quarterback. He's not cool at all.
Yeah.
Separate from his, not cool. He's super corny.
I probably took it too far by connecting the goofy hat to his abilities as a quarterback. But there's some, I don't know what it is.
Well, and is Doug cool enough to judge cool?
No.
You know what I mean? Like, Doug, like, if I can understand, Mike, you're a man who's had. You know, you've done well with people.
Mike has swag.
You say you've done well in your life.
Mike, you've got swag.
Like, can Doug look at Carson and say, like, Doug? Like, Doug is too corny himself
Doug's corny. Doug's just a dude from Louisiana who was a lunkhead quarterback his whole life.
Right.
He's like a dad.
Right.
You know, making that judgment, but not Doug.
Listen, I don't know. Like, I'm not here to tell you that Carson Wentz is going to be an all-pro for the all-pro day. I still don't know that. And there are some things that make me pause. But what I'm saying here is that if you've got the guy, you got to back him. Like, you can't be not all in on the guy that you anointed as the all-in guy because it's detrimental. So while he's the guy, make him the guy. That's all I'm saying. And if it doesn't turn out to be, that he's the guy because he chose to wear a goofy hat and thought it was cool, well, then we'll know that soon enough.
And then you would pivot to another quarterback. But if you have a great offensive line and great weapons and a great defense, and then you have to swap out the quarterback, I know that's a big spot, but then you could find a veteran guy to, quote, plug in that. You could do a Nick Foles thing if you build the rest of the roster. But in their effort to back him up, you might have hurt your roster building to where if he isn't the guy, you hurt the development of or the future of the next guy, if that makes sense.
Or do you think at this point it's more about placating Alshon than it is about building up Wentz?
I don't know why you would placate him.
But I'm just wondering.
Yeah, like he's not even in the equation for me. Your quarterback's the equation. Your quarterback's 80% of the team. So like I go, this is why I took this Jalen Hurts thing. So not that I hate Jalen Hurts. It's because I go, what if you? It's an indication to me. It's like you connect the dots. If you're going to take that guy in the second round, that tells me you're not sold on this guy that you already have. It can't be any clearer to me. Now maybe I'm wrong.
No, you're not.
That's the issue.
I go, why on earth would you do that unless you go? We have decided as the triad of Jeffrey, Howie, and Doug, that we have decided it's probably not going to work with this guy. So we got to back it up. That's what I saw out of that. But other people say, no, Mike, it's not that. It's just that you want to have a better backup quarterback. And I don't think that's it. But I know there are people that think that.
And the money thing got blown out of the water. It wasn't just Jameis either. Flacco signed for like no money. Cam Newton still without a job. Like that whole it saves money thing was just false. Because both Flacco and Jameis, and I think there was another veteran backup, all signed for less than the average of a second round pick.
Yes,
so it wasn't money either.
Yes.
That whole, if you're gonna pay another guy $6 million, except all these other teams pay veterans who have won
$2 million. Yeah.
So sorry, we wouldn't have to pay $6 million.
So now if we get to this Alshon thing, and I'm the head coach, and my fortunes are tied to who I have as my starting quarterback. They're like this. They go hand in hand. So I go, if I'm a head coach and my management comes to me and goes, listen, we don't want to take the hit, the cap hit. I go, I can't have that. I go, my quarterback is going to feel uncomfortable if you do that. My quarterback is essential to this whole process that we're trying to do here. So I can't do now. Maybe he's not strong enough to say that to those guys. But if I was the head coach, everything would be around my quarterback. Any little interference, I would want to eliminate. And I think all the great coaches do the same thing with their quarterbacks.
Nobody talked bad about Brady way before. I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about 20 years ago.
You might not like it, but you got to give into it.
Yeah.
Look what they're doing in Arizona. They're building it around that quarterback. He's been in the league 1 year. They're building it. They go get another a receiver. They're building it. They draft a receiver. They're building around that quarterback. Denver drafted a bunch. They're building around. These kids all have even less pedigree, perhaps, than Carson. And they're still building
around.
So
if you connect more of the dots and add it to the Hurts thing, I would also go, oh, no, no, no. You're not going to make my quarterback feel like that by drafting that guy in the second round. What, are you kidding me? Oh, the head coach was right on board with it. Which tells me the thought process is melded between the triad. That this is not the guy who's going to lead us to the promised land. That's just the way I feel about it. Pete in South Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Pete.
Hello there, Mike.
What's up, Pete?
Yeah, no. Going to do a little pivot, but first, I agree with you 100%. Them drafting Hurts, there's something up with it. They don't have faith in Carson, I think, the way the rest of the city's got faith in Carson.
The only option is they don't know what they're doing, and I don't want to think that. Like, at least I'm giving them credit. All right, they know what they're doing because they've decided that Wentz isn't their guy. At least I can respect that.
I know, I definitely agree, but I said one thing I want to switch to.
Okay.
And that's sports analytics has always been a passion of mine. And I went back over, I went through all the seasons, watched the film, did analysis, and I determined through the data that Chase Utley was a superior player to Derek Jeter.
Chase Utley was a superior player to Derek Jeter? And how did you come up with that?
Chase always hustled. Derek didn't have the same hustle in him.
What? Wait, so the guy dove into a stand and busted his nose to get a foul ball. What are you talking about?
Come on. Yeah, wait. Come on, Chase.
Wait. Derek Jeter didn't hustle?
With a pitch, threw it right back at him. Come on. You saw the way he slid to the Mets during the World Series. Derek Jeter don't make that move.
You're making a case for Chase Utley playing hard. I'll give you that. He did play hard, but you're saying Derek Jeter didn't play hard? Come on, man.
Not as far as Chase. I think a guy who plays hard.
Come on,
that's
Pete.
Just the way I am.
Pete, you didn't see Derek Jeter play every game. Come on.
I went back. I watched the film.
No, you didn't watch film. You watched every game that Derek Jeter played in 20 years?
Not every game.
Stop it, Pete. Listen, just come out and say I love Chase Utley. You don't have to go to the Jeter Avenue.
But both guys, somewhat similar eras. I think Chase got overlooked. I think his whole entire career.
How was he overlooked? He was considered an engine player. He wasn't overlooked. Derek Jeter, just look at the numbers. Derek Jeter's numbers are better. Come on, man. I'm not trying to, like, I can't stick. Derek Jeter means nothing to me, but come on.
He just felt
chased up. I get it, but come on, bro.
Just had to get it off of his chest, I guess.
He examined every game Derek Jeter played and came up with that analysis.
Over 20 years.
Yeah.
3,000 hits, 3,000 plus hits, all those World Series, and he didn't play hard? Like, come on. Like Utley's an all-time favorite here, but come on. Derek Jeter, if anything, he played hard.
Yeah, well, he watched last night's game. Utley hit a home run to first inning.
Great player.
Yeah, Jeter hit some, too. The day after he hit the home run last night, he called as the call about Chase. Because you remind, oh, man, he was clutch. When you go back and watch these games, you see Chase Utley moments. You go, you remember how great that whole team was, and your re-affection for, your Chase affection reestablishes.
Right.
All right. It's good to talk to our next guest. We can sort some things out here. The great Sal Palantonio covering the NFL for ESPN. He is on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Sal, great to talk to you on this Sal Pal Tuesday.
Tuesdays with Sal. It's back, 5:15 on the Mike Missinelli program. How we doing, boss? How we doing?
We're doing very well. How's your summer going?
Summer is okay, not bad. You know, you do what you can. I was you know, this and that for Channel 6, for NFL Live, for SportsCenter, for the Mike Missinelli program, doing a lot of hanging out with my granddaughters, which is always great.
That's nice.
So I've been trying to, you know, trying to work on the abs and the tan a little bit, make sure I'm in playing shape come August 1st. You know what I'm saying, Mike?
I get you. So let's talk about, because there are a lot of things I want to talk to you about, including baseball. We'll get to that later. But let's talk to you first of all about the calamity that happens with Brandon Brooks and what they're up against now with this situation.
Well, I think Doug Peterson put it best. His heart sunk when he heard that Brandon Brooks suffered that Achilles injury that ends his entire 2020 season before it even starts. And, you know, the hard, really, really difficult part is, you know, he can't really see him, and his teammates can't see him because of the situation we are in, and the circumstances are much more challenging than they've ever been for these teams and these players. You know, and I know people don't want to have sympathy for him because, you know, they make a lot of money. But the bottom line is, you know, everybody wants to be out there doing their job, whatever it is. We're all struggling because we're social animals and we want to interact with people in what we do, and we're not able to do it. Doesn't make matter if you make $5 an hour or $5 million a game. People want to do their jobs, and it's a hard thing for these guys to know that his season is over before it even started.
Where do you think now? I know they haven't had a lot of time to think about this, but most fans are plugged in. Well, that means Jason Peters has to come back and play guard. What are your feelings on how they deal with this?
Well, I think that's a silly idea.
Really?
Yes, I think it's silly. I think it's silly to expect an aging veteran on his last lap to come back and change positions. First of all, I think that Jason Peters on one roller skate can play left tackle better than Andre Dillard, A. And B, Dillard could probably play guard with no problem. So, obviously that's not the answer. The answer is they want Dillard to work out at left tackle. Color me skeptical on that, Michael. I don't know if it's something that they can really make happen out of whole cloth, especially in a challenging off season like this. But they got to give it a go. They took the guy in the first round, proclaimed him as the next left tackle in the franchise, and they've got to at least give him a shot to prove that he can play the position. As for Peters playing right guard, I think, you know, they have a couple of guys who they think they can groom to play the guard position, players that they've drafted. Pryor did an okay job. Obviously, he doesn't have the speed of foot that Brooks does, but few do. You know, you're replacing a guy who's been to the Pro Bowl 3 straight years. And when they were missing him against the Seahawks in the wild card game, they gave up 7 sacks. And his absence was a major reason for that.
All right, so I actually the options they would have, and you seem to be going that way as well. If they brought Peters back to move Dillard to the right guard position, which is a solution.
It's a 1 year solution, right?
Yeah,
and it's a 1 year solution at a time where, and you know, the last time I was on, you and I talked about this concept that NFL coaches and GMs were throwing around called roster construction. When Goodell flips the switch, I said to you back then, you got to have guys who you can plug in and play. So in this circumstance, in this challenging year, it's okay to bring Peters back if Peters will come back and he likes the money and he's going to play left tackle. He's not going to come back to play right guard. He's going to come back to play left tackle. So you bring him back, and Dillard is a swing guy who can play right guard. If Peters goes down, he plays left tackle. He can play right tackle. He becomes your swing guy and a guy that is groomed for 2021. You know, all of us are going through the same thing in 2020. And I just turned 64. And my motto now is stay alive to 65. You know, it's like, let's take it 1 year at a time now. Let's get through this year some way, somehow.
Yeah, I actually like your solution better than the other one. I've talked about that earlier today. that would be an easier transition, except for one thing. Peters has been pulled out of games so many times lately that, like, what, you know, that would set up a really problematic situation.
I know.
So, you know, that's the only thing that would hold me back on that. Your thoughts on that?
No, I agree with you. Like I said, you're just trying to get from week one to week two. You know, you're working with spit and polish here. That's what you're doing.
Yeah. All right. I want to play the Doug Peterson, Cub and Doug Peterson, what he had to say about Alshon Jeffrey, and get your reaction on this, and then we'll get into a bigger discussion as it pertains to Carson Wentz. But here's what Doug had to say about Alshon.
Alshon's one of the guys. The dialogue that he's had in the receiver room, being able to converse with some of the young players that we have on our roster. But yeah, he is a big part of the process moving forward, and he's a great leader, and he's going to be able to help the young players come along.
So Alshon apparently has the role of being the leader at the young players. And that runs contrary to what we've heard about Alshon and certainly his relationship with the quarterback. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, you know, necessity is the mother of invention, right? You know, he needs a job. They need to keep him on the roster because he's going to make a lot of money. So you reinvent yourself and you become more of a leader. But that's one part of it. The second part of it is, you know, I've always said that because you can't trade him, I would keep him and try to make him as much a productive member of the roster as possible. And that's the tack that Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie and Doug Peterson should take with him. And it sounds like it is. You know, you have to be able to get, again, we're in a special circumstance. And in a special circumstance, people have to make the most of their second chances. And that's the case here with Alshon. And I've always liked Alshon. I've never on this program once, not on the Mike Missanelli program or SportsCenter or anywhere else, belittled his toughness or his attention to detail or the fact that he wants to play hurt. I have a lot of respect for Alshon Jeffrey. I know I'm in the minority on that in some places, but I do think that Alshon Jeffrey can make a significant contribution this year.
All right, I look at it like this. Now, in my mind, you have to pave the smoothest path for your quarterback. All franchises have to if they've got a franchise quarterback. I'm not necessarily in agreement that this paves the smoothest path for the quarterback by bringing in Alshon because of financial reasons and shoehorning him here with your fingers crossed that he's going to be a leader.
Okay, well, I can understand that opinion. I can certainly understand that opinion, and that's a prevailing opinion. There's no question about it. But you're not going to trade him, and you don't want to just eat the salary and just say, you know, Alshon, go back to South Carolina and go coach high school football. He has talent. Michael, they don't win the Super Bowl without Alshon Jeffrey, and that's only 2 years ago. Let me repeat that. They don't win that Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, I get it. This is 2020, and I don't know if it's, you can reasonably think it's the same guy.
You won't get an argument from me, but I'm just saying if he's there and he can contribute, let's check it out. I mean, I'm in a let's check it out mode on just about everything. Let's see what works and what doesn't work. We're trying to get from, you know, from Tuesday to Wednesday right now.
All right, last thing I want to talk to you about. You're a baseball guy. And you see what's going on here. And I don't know which side of the fence you're actually on in this, but it's very possible that there's not a baseball season. Whose fault is it?
Well, I think it's the owner's fault. I always come down on the side of the players in every circumstance. And I think the owners, you know, in this specific spot, didn't provide the right kind of leadership, especially from a financial standpoint. The players are the ones that are putting themselves at risk, and they should be compensated. You agree or don't?
No, I agree. I'm definitely on your side. You'll hear from the other side. Well, everybody's making sacrifices now. Why wouldn't the players make a sacrifice in this pandemic world?
No, see, I just think everything that I'm hearing from agents and players is that the players are very concerned about their health and the health of their families and their extended families. Very, very concerned in every sport. And that's why these players' unions are fighting very hard to make sure that they're part of whatever protocol is set up. I don't know if you read or put on the 97.5 The Fanatic website, but if you haven't, I will send a 9-page protocol for reopening the NFL facilities. I have a copy of it. I'll send it to Coach.
Okay.
And Coach can put it on the 97.5 website, and I'll send it to you, too.
All right.
All right? And I want you to read it. I want all the fans to read it, to see what the NFL is doing just to reopen the facilities for training camp. And, Mike, in the 9 pages, you know, something like 87, 90 paragraphs, there's not even a mention of practice. They haven't even figured out how these players are going to get out on the field to practice, because the players want to make sure that they are safeguarded and that they don't bring it home to their families. That's the biggest issue.
All right. Sounds good. Good to talk to you, brother.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Tell everybody back there I said hi. And, you know, we'll be talking all throughout the summer as things progress here. But if we had somebody in leadership somewhere, they would just say to baseball, play baseball. You know, once upon a time, they told the pilot, the guys that land the planes, you can't go on strike. We got to have baseball, Mike, right?
Yeah, the air traffic controllers. Yeah.
Air traffic controllers, yeah. Thank you for helping me out.
That's right.
But that was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. But, you know, at some point, somebody's just got to step up and say, hey, it's for the good of the country. We got to have baseball. You guys figure it out.
Yeah, neither side is thinking about what's good for the country. All right, man, we'll talk to you up the road.
Okay, bro.
There you go. Yeah, the air traffic controllers. Goose, I think it's time to buzz the tower.
I watched that a couple weeks ago.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it was on.
610-632-0975. We got calls, so no sound off today. You want to check in? You just heard Sal talk about not a good idea to have Jason Peters come back and play guard. Mike Mussinelli Show. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, I got other things. Yeah, I'm growing tomatoes. Yeah, tomatoes are looking good.
Cultivate. Oh, good.
Cultivate a good crop. I don't need baseball. I just go out there and sing to my plants.
There you go. Do you sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game to your plants?
I gave him a little shot of tomato. I forget what it's called. It's like a fertilizer.
Booster?
It's got a name. It's a brand. So I could take a handful, plop it in there.
Nice. You know, so better than last year, right?
Yeah, they're coming up good this year.
Good.
Because I changed it up. I planted. Tyrone, we were talking about this before. Because you got to use different spots of the garden sometimes.
Okay.
So I used where instead of planting them in the same spot all the time, I just changed it up a little bit. I think that helped.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
the farmers used to call it rotating the crop.
Yeah, rotate.
Oh, as the farmers once said.
Exactly. You got to trust the farmers. All right, the final Twitter poll numbers brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Need a new mower, zero turn, or other outdoor power equipment? Paul B. Moyer and Sons has it all. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or by phone. There's safe contactless pickup for your equipment right there at their place in Doylestown, PA. Natalie?
Thanks, Mike. Over 1,600 votes on today's poll. Does Doug Peterson calling Alshon Jeffrey a team leader bother you? 48% say yes, 52% say no.
All righty. Thank you very much. All right, so late breaking here is that the Oklahoma State football coach, Mike Gundy, issued an apology after originally not issuing an apology and saying some mumbo-jumbo that he thought was going to pass for an apology. So this is the first time hearing this. So let's play it. Let's hear what the man had to say.
I had a great meeting with our team today. Our players expressed their feelings as individuals and as team members. They helped me see through their eyes how the T-shirt affected their hearts. Once I learned how that network felt about Black Lives Matter, I was disgusted and knew it was completely unacceptable to me. I want to apologize to all members of our team, former players, and their families for the pain and discomfort that has been caused over the last 2 days. Black Lives Matter to me. Our players matter to me. These meetings with our team have been eye-opening and will result in positive changes for Oklahoma State football. I sincerely hope the Oklahoma State family, near and far, will accept my humble apology as we move forward.
Well, okay. When he learned, what do you mean when he learned? Well, he knows what LAN is about. When he learned, what does that mean? He just pulled out a T-shirt? He had no knowledge of what their agenda is?
Where do you even get one of those
T-shirts?
I'm
going to take him at his word. Okay. I do believe that there are people who watch things, they see some things that they want to hear, and then ignore the things that they don't want to hear. And apparently, my guess is this guy doesn't, I don't think he really watches.
All right, well, I can make a conclusion that he's obviously an ultra right-wing supporter if he's going to wear that T-shirt and he watches that network.
What's weird is right-wing people don't think that network's really right-wing.
It's ultra. It's like, you know, like ultra right-wing to the point of being like ridiculous.
Yeah, they almost look at it as a joke. Even right-wing people look at network as a joke.
Before this apology, like put this apology and put it on a plate. So he obviously is an ultra-right-wing supporter, which, you know, whatever you want, it's fine. You know, I don't happen to want to hang out with you that in a social setting, but if that's what you believe, I respect it, right? So this OAN fosters an agenda that condemns sort of the importance of other cultures.
Yes, that's fair.
Right. So, should he be able to keep his job when his success is dependent on the contributions of those other cultures?
Well, now it's going to be, I guess, up to the players to see if they want to accept their apology or if they think that it's good enough or if they think that
right.
it's genuine.
But in general, as a general player. Discussion, and that I think I want to like have tomorrow the list to flesh this out a little more because it leads to a bigger issue now. If you are a supporter of that kind of right-wing agenda that reduces minorities to lesser than, can you make the case that you shouldn't be allowed to coach those same minorities?
And that's interesting, especially in college, in which I'm not talking making the argument. I'm saying you have unpaid labor. That's and you make millions.
Exactly.
And you have unpaid labor.
Your success is based on the backs of the people that you're condemning by proxy.
Right. And they don't have free agency. They can transfer, but they got to sit out. You know, there's... Mm-hmm. What I mean is it's like they don't have freedom of movement.
Yeah.
So once you reveal yourself, if I'm already on campus, I now have to jump through a bunch of hoops to get off campus.
Right.
It's not like football where maybe you can release me at the end of the year. Like it's if you're a sophomore at Oklahoma State right now, you can't just go play for Oklahoma this year.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just go from Okie State to Oklahoma. They'll block that.
All right. The only thing, I look at this, anybody can put an earnest apology out there, and it's up to you to believe it or not.
It was a decent apology.
Yeah, it was. But when he says, when I learned, I go, that doesn't resonate with me, because you're not a child. You should know already. And so that's my problem with that. And one other thing as we go into the break, and we have room for a couple calls here before we get out of here. And I wanted to bring this up today. And I'm not bringing this up because I want to rip this guy. I actually feel sorry for him. And I want to put it out there because this was a story in the Inquirer today about a guy named Michael Henkel. And he's 61 years old from South Philly. And he was a family court supervisor, Philadelphia family court supervisor. Now, what happened in his neighborhood? A woman posted on her Facebook page a video where this guy, Michael Henkel from South Philly, was removing signs that said Black Lives Matter in off of fences in the neighborhood. And in the video, the guy said, the woman yells to him, hey, you're not supposed to do that, blah, 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 Black Lives Matter. And this guy responds, not to me, they don't. Now, here's the thing that, I'm not going to rip the guy because it makes me sad that a guy who's 61 years old, it makes me want to sit down and have a cup of coffee with the guy and just get into his soul and go, what happened to you what happened in your life that would make you hate another culture to that extent? I want to learn about people. I want to learn about their experiences and how they foster that kind of a thing at 61. Now, this guy's got children, and these are lessons that are going to be passed down, and it doesn't help anybody. So, Michael, I'll sit down with you and have a cup of coffee. I want to sit down with the guy. I wonder what happened to you that makes you do something like this. You look like you have a professional job. You're working around all kinds of different people, and you harbor this hatred that would make you say, not to me, it doesn't. I never understand it, man, but it's all about dialogue and sitting down, and maybe you can make a difference in this guy. Mike Missinelli Show.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
It's 5:48. Come down the home stretch of the Mike Missinelli Show. Devon Givens will follow this program tonight on 97.5 The Fanatic. And, of course, game 2 of the 2008 World Series in Tampa Bay with those weird rules with the catwalks and all that stuff.
Yeah. If you hit this, it's this.
Yeah, it's almost like you're playing in a neighborhood. If it hits the wire.
Yeah.
Interference.
He's calling interference.
Yeah, interference. Do it over. Anyway, this is not a W tonight.
Yeah, game 2 was the loss, and then they win 3-4-5.
It was not a W.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's still worth following along. I think Tampa Bay got off to a good start in this game.
Yeah.
Who pissed the second game for the Phils?
Like,
boy. It had to be Brett Myers, right? Was it Brett Myers? Yeah, I think it was Brett Myers' pitch game.
Wasn't?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I don't think Brett fared that well. All right, let's go to Mike in Kutztown. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Mike?
I was thinking about what you were talking about as far as, like, with Carson Wentz and the triad above him, the head coach.
Right.
Russell Wilson.
What about
that? The Seahawks had one of the best secondaries in a long, long time. And the minute they started talking trash on him, what did they do? They dismantled them. They got rid of them.
Yeah.
They were protecting their franchise quarterback. And so I don't understand what Doug Peterson is doing, not backing his quarterback.
Yeah, I think he thinks he is. But I think that, I think that they have decided that maybe it's not going to happen with this guy. So instead of going all in on a project that they don't think will come out, like how they're building a house that they don't think is sturdy, they decided to build another house. You know?
Okay. So then why did they go ahead and extend them the way they did?
I don't know. They did that kind of like going into, I think what soured them was the concussion soured them, and that's turned the whole thing around. Because he wasn't available to win that game. They took that to an extreme they didn't have to take it to. in their minds.
Yeah, I hear you. I just want to make a statement out there that there are franchises that will back their franchise quarterback.
I think it's necessary to do that. The first step is you identify the guy. They did that. They identified him at a great cost.
Yes.
Right? So
yes.
you got to see that through without going, you know? When you get on that high wire, you can't like say, well, I'm going to stop here and go back.
I look at what Seattle did. That was like an awesome secondary. And they just, because they criticized Russell Wilson, that's when they decided, no, we can't have that.
Yeah, because the quarterback is the thing. You got to have him at the utmost confidence. You got to let him know you're behind him at all costs. Because, listen, it's a very insecure position. People are paying attention to your every little mistake. One incompletion, people form opinions on you. So you got to have the utmost insecurity. And to have that, you got to have your people back you.
I agree, Mike. All right, man.
All right, Mike. You got
it. Have a good one, guys.
All right. Now, and there are people that don't believe this at all. I ain't thinking I'm causing trouble. I'm not trying to cause trouble. It's just to be clear. And the thing that mitigates is like, okay, well, they can't. Like we just heard Sal. Well, they're not going to eat it. Well, guess what? That's what you're going to have to do. That's part of making your quarterback. Whether it hurts you financially or not, the other side is more important, in my view.
And now, Carson is a nice person.
Mm-hmm.
And he leads with God. And obviously that informs everything that he does. Do you think his kindness, because other quarterbacks would just say it,
mm-hmm.
even if they were good guys, but Carson turns the other cheek. That's who he is. He's not being phony. That's who he is.
Yeah.
Do you think because he turns the cheek all the time, that allows them to do certain things that they wouldn't do to a person who wouldn't turn the other cheek?
I don't know, I guess.
You know what I mean? Like, other quarterbacks will be kicking and screaming, like, get that guy out of my locker room.
They might
Carson's not going to do that, so they can get away with having him around, because publicly and probably privately, Carson's going to lead with love and do the right thing.
Well, also, I mean, they might be mistaking his kindness for weakness, because if we see, I think it all depends on how he emerges this year now that they did sign the backup. Because this is when he can really get his, feathers up and take a stand. So hopefully they're not confusing the kindness for weakness. And I think that that's what we're going to see.
Well, it's going to be an interesting situation. First, we have to actually get people on the field to prepare for a season.
True.
Right.
True.
Like, we're talking about this like it's imminent. Who knows what's imminent? All right, everybody, have a great rest of the night. Thanks for the conversation. Tomorrow, General Knowledge Wednesday, Devon Givens next, TV. NBC Sports has Lunch Talk Live and then World Series Game 2 with that Brett Myers on the hill for the Phillies. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.